read from 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 12 to 28, please. 12 to 28.
Can we please rise for the reading of the Word of God? Our scripture reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 28. Let us hear the Word of the Lord. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. 14. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. 16. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts to an end to all the rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet, but when he says, all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. 28. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be in all, that God may be all in all. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you. Amen, amen. You may be seated. God richly bless you. Hallelujah. This is the greatest chapter on the resurrection. The greatest chapter on the resurrection. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that unto you alone shall the gathering of the people be. Thank you, Lord, that unto you alone shall the gathering of the people be. We thank you, Lord, that this afternoon we are not gathered in the name of any man, nor in the name of any religion, but we are gathered in the name of the Most High God. You said where two or three are gathered in your name, there in their midst you will be. We welcome the Great One, the Holy Spirit, to lead, guide, and direct us this afternoon. I'm trusting you, Spirit of God, that you will give us utterance in the Holy Spirit, that I will not speak with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I'll speak under the anointing and power of your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. We give you praise and thanks, Father, that you will grant us revelation knowledge. Reveal to us, Father, the reality of the resurrection and the power of the resurrection in the name of Jesus. I come against every hindrance. I come against every obstacle. I pray that Christ be glorified and Christ be exalted as we celebrate the resurrection today in the powerful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. What an almighty God that we serve. The power of the resurrection. Why is the resurrection so important? The whole Christianity, our faith, Christianity, hinges on the fact that Jesus resurrected from the dead. If it can be proven, thank you. If it can be proven, if it can be proven that Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead, that is the end of Christianity. That will destroy Christianity, because the foundation of Christianity is based on the fact that Jesus resurrected. If someone can prove that indeed he didn't, that is the end of Christianity. The reason why the stone was rolled away, it was not rolled away for Jesus, to enable Jesus to come out. He didn't. That stone couldn't stop him. Because when he had that resurrected body, he appears and disappears at will. So he didn't need the stone to be rolled away from the entrance so that he can come out. The stone didn't stop him. He was already out. He was already out. The reason why the angels rolled the stone away is so that his disciples and the believers can go and see for themselves that their tomb is empty as a witness. Hallelujah. But the stone, it couldn't stop him. He appears and disappears at will. It couldn't stop him. The grave couldn't hold him. And it was already prophesied even before he was born that it was not, the grave couldn't hold him, and it was not possible for the grave to hold him. Psalm 16. It was not possible. Hallelujah. In fact, let me read this Psalm 16. It was not possible, hallelujah. It was not possible for the grave to hold him. Which verse? Psalm 16. Turn over into the hand. Can anyone see the verse? No. Psalm 16. Oh, no wonder I'm in Job. My goodness. Dear Lord, Psalm 16, verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures for... No, not that one. Oh, therefore, for thou wilt not leave... Yes, thank you. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Hallelujah. So, who wrote this psalm? David. So, David was prophesying. And when the Spirit of God came upon David and he started prophesying, he was prophesying in the first person, as though he was speaking about himself, but yet he was speaking about the Messiah to come. Because David is a type of Christ. He's a type of Jesus. He's a picture of Jesus. So, he was saying, thou will not leave
my soul in the grave, nor will thou allow your Holy One to see corruption. I mean, David is not the Holy One, is he? No. We know his faults and the mistakes that he made. So definitely he's not talking about him, but he's talking about the Jesus in him. So he prophesied it in the first person. Hallelujah. You get it? He prophesied it in the first person. Thou will not allow your Holy One. You will not leave your Holy One in the grave. You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. So his body didn't decay. He was resurrected. Hallelujah. So if anyone can come and prove, let me read 17 again. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins, then also all those who are falling asleep in Christ have perished. You notice how Apostle Paul said, all those in Christ who are falling asleep. What's that referring to? Death. Believers who die in Christ do not die, they fall asleep because they are waiting for the resurrection of the body. Hallelujah. They are waiting for the resurrection of the body. So as believers, we must never be afraid of death. You've only taken a long nap until Jesus is ready to raise you up. We need to rest, don't we? This life is a hard life. So he's giving us rest when you die. Don't be afraid of death. If you die in Christ, you'll be resurrected again. I am the resurrection and the life. Though a person may die, he will yet live again. How can we live again? We can only live again in Christ. Further on in chapter 15, it says that in Adam, some died. In Adam, all died. So we all died in Adam. Because when he sinned, we were all in his loins, even though we were not born yet, but we were in him when he sinned. So in Adam, we all died, but in Christ, all shall live. In Christ, all shall live. So what is resurrection? If I'm to ask you right now, what is your definition of resurrection? Can anyone tell me? To live to die no more. Okay. Anyone else? That's much better. Yeah, raised from the dead to die no more. Okay, who else wants to have a go? Oh, Professor.
Restoring to life from that which was dead.
Restoring to life from that which was dead. Oh, Fifi. A completion of our resurrection, okay. Yeah, all those answers are good. But it simply means resurrection, simply means the reuniting of our spirit to our bodies. Does that make sense to you? What we call death, you see, death is not the cessation of life. It's a transition into another life. So what happens then is, what we call death is when your spirit leaves your body. And because your body cannot live without your spirit, when that happens, then the body is dead. But the spirit is not dead. The spirit is moved on. You get a difference? The spirit is moved on. So because there is that separation between spirit and body, then the body dies. It cannot survive by on its own. But the spirit can. The real you is your spirit. Man is spirit, soul, and body. By our spirit, we are God conscious. By our soul, we are self-conscious. By our body, we are world conscious. Our body helps us to relate to this physical planet we live in. Yeah. So death simply means that there is the separation between you and your body. And because your body cannot survive without your spirit, then it dies. But a day is coming that every human, even those who are cremated, God still has your DNA. Even if you are not cremated, your body still rots in the ground, isn't it? In the grave, it just disintegrates and it's gone. Even the bones eventually disintegrate and it's gone. Everything will be gone completely. But God still has your DNA. And a day is coming that you and I, every human, you're going to be reunited with your body again and face God in judgment. And those that are giving their lives to Jesus will receive a glorified body like Jesus had. Hallelujah. Will be like Jesus. Why do you think when Jesus resurrected, he lived 40 days on the planet again? He showed himself to his loved ones, his disciples, and his followers, those who believed in him. He showed himself to them. He ate fish. He cooked fish. He ate fish. He said, "Look at me." They thought when he appeared, they thought he was a ghost. He said, come, touch me. A ghost has no, what did he say? A ghost has no what? Flesh and what? Bones like I have. He said, look. And why did he leave the scars, the nail prints? And it was not just for Thomas. It's to show us that he has the same body that he went in the grave with. It's the same body, but it has been restored. Same body. So he left the marks on his body to show you and I, to show the world that he's the same person. And likewise, you and I, we shall receive the same body, but it's going to be glorified like Jesus' body. So everything that he did in our glorified body, we're going to do the same. Hallelujah. So if you are in heaven, I want to go and see grandma in heaven. Boom, then I'm there. That's how it's going to be. Immortal body, glorified body. So it happens as you desire it. The reason is that in our glorified body, we're not going to go through our soul. And that's where, you know, our personality resides in our soul. But in our glorified body, our spirit will be totally in control. It doesn't have to go through the soul like we do now. Are you getting it? It doesn't have to go through the soul. So now the soul is that the gear that we have to go through for us to be able to do stuff. But in heaven, you desire it, and then it happens because that obstacle has been removed. So there is freedom of the spirit. The spirit has 100% control. So Jesus lived 40 days to show his disciples that he's the same person. And he did all the things that he did to show us that this is how life is going to be when we become like him. This is how it's going to be. That's why even those who don't die, you know, there are going to be a group who will not die when Jesus comes. What's that called? The rapture. And what happens in the rapture is that it's like the Holy Spirit calls home all those that belong to Jesus. And those who haven't died yet, when he calls home, those who haven't died yet will go through the transformation and be caught up in the air to meet Jesus. Because we can't go to heaven with this body that we have. It will be rejected. It can't make it in. So there has to be that transformation. But those that have died already now is their spirit and soul that is with Jesus. Their body is not there. The body will be transformed so that it can make it in. But their body is not there right now. So Jesus lived 40 days to show us how it's going to be like. The power that our body will have. So resurrection means our bodies will be reunited with our spirit, which is the real person. Our spirit, which is the real person. Hallelujah. So it's going to be like this. The biblical doctrine of resurrection, it's when our redeemed spirits is reunited with our redeemed body. The biblical doctrine of resurrection is when our redeemed spirits are reunited with our redeemed bodies. And what a day that is going to be. Hallelujah. And it's also going to be, remember, have you read the Bible says there will be a new heaven and a new earth? Why is that going to happen? It's for so that our redeemed bodies can live on a new earth. Our redeemed spirit and soul and bodies can live on a new planet. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Someone read that for me, please. Genesis 2, verse 7. For us to understand, if you need to understand certain things, you have to go to the beginning. Jesus always went to the beginning to redefine things. Let's go to the beginning and find out how we became, how Adam became a living person. Genesis 2, 7, has someone found it? Read it, please. Hallelujah. So, when did Adam become a living person, a living being? Hallelujah. Pardon? You see what's happening? So, God formed his physical body from the dust. He formed it. Is that right? Formed it, but it was still lifeless until God breathed his spirit into that formed lifeless body, and he became a living soul, a living being. In the Hebrew means the breathing, he became a breathing body. So the body that was lifeless now became a breathing body. Started breathing. And that's exactly what happens at resurrection. Our body is reunited with our spirit. So the spirit God breathed our body from the dust. There is that restoration. And then we become living beings again. That is the power of the resurrection. Hallelujah. We become living beings again. So it didn't happen until God breathed his spirit into that physical. So man is not just a spirit. He's a spirit that lives in a body. So you and I will never be in glory. We will never be who God has, all that God has made us to be, until our redeemed body and our redeemed spirit are reunited. Then we will come into the fullness of what God has for us. Hallelujah. A lot of people do not understand that it is very, very important that we receive our glorious bodies as well. It's not just the spirit. You see, it's not just the spirit. Now, the Bible says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So, in the same way that God redeemed our spirits, He's going to redeem our bodies so that He can continue to live in our bodies. He created our bodies so that He can live in. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So He needs to redeem it so that He can live in it permanently. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said to the Jewish people, destroy this temple and what? Destroy this temple and I will what? Raise it up, build it up, same thing. I will raise it up again. I'll restore it again. I'll restore it again. And that's what's going to happen to us. Our bodies are going to be restored. Someone read Philippians 3:11 for me, please. Philippians 3:11. Destroy this temple. You see, the enemy thought through death is going to destroy Jesus. But he didn't know that that was the plan of God. Had they have known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In the same way, the devil wants to kill us, but he doesn't know that in killing us and destroying our physical bodies, we're going to receive a glorified one. It's the same thing. Philippians 3:11, please. Anyone found it? Brother Everton? You got it. Read it, please. Okay.
That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead.
Can you read it again? I want you to listen, please. Listen attentively. Oh, what? You've gone further.
The righteousness which comes from God in the basis of faith. But I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the discipleship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead.
Did you hear that? Okay, I'll read it from... Thank you, Brother Everton. I'll read it again. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. So he wanted to know the power of His resurrection. How Jesus was resurrected. What made it possible. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection, that I may attain what? That I may attain. That I may attain to the resurrection. I may attain. That was his goal. You see, a lot of believers, we think that our goal is to just make it into heaven. No. I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. I may attain from the resurrection. From the resurrection of the dead. Because our spirits are already with Jesus when you die. But it's our bodies that have not been resurrected yet. So Paul says that his goal, his aim, is that he will attain to the resurrection of the dead. That I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Resurrection from the dead. I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. That means his body being restored from the grave to reunite with his spirit. And that's what it's all about. Resurrection from the dead. So Jesus resurrected to show us that this is how it's going to be for us when we die. This is what Job saw. Job. For I know, you see, Job had a revelation. He was ahead of his time. The oldest book to be written in the Bible is the book of Job. And even in the Ancient of Days, Job had a revelation that he's going to have a resurrected body. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that a day is coming that I will see God in my flesh. Hallelujah. I will see God in my flesh. So he was also attaining to the resurrection of the body. Attaining to the resurrection of the body. He was desiring that he will see God in his flesh, in his body. He will see God in his physical body. He knew that even though his body was wasting away, one day his body will be restored, that he will see God in his body. Hallelujah. He will see God in his body. He will see God in his body. He will see God in his body. Hallelujah. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Hallelujah. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know. So Job said that even before Moses penned the Pentateuch. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. What an almighty God that we serve. Are you ready for your reunion? This is why, you know, some religion teach reincarnation and stuff. Do you believe you'll be reincarnated? Let me check your theology now. Do you believe, how many of you believe in reincarnation? Let me see hands. Oh, nobody. Oh, okay. Are you afraid to put your hand up?
Afraid.
Okay, what is reincarnation? What's reincarnation? Renew? Reincarnation is that when you die, you come back in another form, another person, so you can be a cow or a goat. You see, that's why certain religions, they don't eat cows, because say you might be eating your grandfather. You see, it's, may God help us. But we don't come back as another person. You come back as who you are. You real you. Because your body will be restored. Yeah? Pardon? Oh, yeah, there will be no wrinkles. You won't need plastic surgery. You won't need cosmetic surgery or any of that stuff. A better you will come out. A better you. Hallelujah. A better you. A better you. A better you is going to come out. So there's no reincarnation stuff. You come back as who you are. That's why we'll be able to recognize. We haven't seen David before. And yet in glory, when we see, we will know this is King David. You just know. It's a divine know. You just know when you see whoever. Samson, whoever. All your favorite characters. You see them and recognize them. And slap high five. Yes, slap high five. A lot of A lot of people say that, oh, if I meet David, I will ask this question or some theological issue. Forget about it. You'll be blown away that all your questions will vanish in your head. You are in glory. Hallelujah. You are in glory. So, the early church, the reason why the early church, you see, these days we don't pray, because we don't know the power of the resurrection, we don't focus on it. Because we don't know. The early church, the reason why the early church was severely persecuted was because they were preaching that Jesus, who they killed, is now resurrected. And he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the kings of this world in those days were scared. They said, no way. They didn't want him to come back. So that's why the church was severely... Why do you think all the 12 apostles were martyred? Apart from John, all 11 were martyred. Because they were preaching that Jesus resurrected. Peter, Apostle Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times in front of young slave girls. He was cursing and swearing that he doesn't know this Jesus they're talking about. Peter. It was so bad that the Bible couldn't record what he said. That's how bad it was. The Bible couldn't record it for us. Blasphemy. And yet, after the day of Pentecost, remember now they've been with Jesus 40 days. Jesus left, wait for the promise of the Father. So 10 days after Jesus left them physically, the power of the Holy Spirit came upon Peter. This same Peter who denied Jesus 3 times, cursing and swearing, now stood in the marketplace and proclaimed to the whole nation that they killed Jesus and God resurrected him. Talk about power. Same person, transformed. And when he preached, instead of the crowd stoning him, what did they do? They started beating their chests and shouting, "Men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved?" He didn't ask them to be saved, just convicted them that you killed Jesus, but God raised him up. You crucified him, but God raised him up as a testimony. And they were scared. Now instead of Peter being scared, the crowd, they were scared. And that day, how many got saved? Can you imagine? 3,000. 3,000 got saved because he told them the truth. Today we are afraid to preach the truth, so we try to water it down. We don't want to scare people away. No, he preached the truth, and how many? He even told them, "You killed Jesus." And 3,000 got saved. You see, if we are preaching by the power of the Holy Spirit, then we will not be afraid to tell the truth. The Holy Spirit can only convict of truth. He cannot convict of watered down messages. No, he doesn't recognize that. He only recognizes truth. But you see, the problem is that error has many voices, but truth has only one voice. Error has many voices. And because error has many voices, everybody is listening to the error that is being preached. And truth has been silenced. Isaiah prophesied that truth has fallen in the streets, and no one wants to know truth. Hallelujah. So the Bible teaches that it is God, Ecclesiastes 3:11, it is God that has put eternity in our hearts. God didn't create us to die. See, we were not created. Death is foreign to us. That's why we hate it. That's why we don't like it. That's why we run away from it. It's not our nature. God didn't create us to die. But because of sin, sin brought death. Sin introduced something foreign to us, and that is death. Doctors cannot explain why the human body dies. I know there are sometimes sicknesses, but it doesn't make sense biologically because it's foreign to us. is foreign to us. But a day is coming, hallelujah, that God is going to restore. A day is coming that God is going to restore. A day is coming that God is going to restore us, hallelujah. Okay, let's look at 1 Corinthians. Let's finish it off. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go back to it again. The great exposition on resurrection. The reason why Apostle Paul was asking these rhetorical questions to this church at Corinth was that their background was Greek philosophy. And Greek philosophy doesn't believe in resurrection of the dead. So he was emphasizing that some are preaching that there is no resurrection of the dead. So he was defending the theology of resurrection of the physical body. 1 Corinthians 15, verse, let me check, 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised what? A spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So he was contrasting our old body with the resurrected body that we're going to have. And this is amazing exposition by the great apostle. Isn't that amazing? He said, the body is sown in corruption. Our body is a corrupted body. It's wasting away. Hallelujah. You want evidence that your body is corrupt and it's wasting away? That's why we need to use the bathroom. It will explain to you. So it's sown in corruption, but it is raised in, hallelujah. It is raised in corruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. Don't you prefer that? Sown in dishonor, but it's raised in glory? We're going to have a glorious body. You won't need to use bathroom. No bathrooms in heaven. Because glorious body. Hallelujah. It is raising. It is sown in weakness. We're not going to have weaknesses in our bodies. No weakness, no sicknesses, no diseases. It is raised in power. Hallelujah. You go through walls and that kind of stuff. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. As it is written, then it goes on. Hallelujah. So Jesus demonstrated these things to us in his resurrected body. We should be like Apostle Paul. We must desire that we want to attain to the resurrection of the body. Don't waste your money on cosmetic surgery. You're going to have a better body than what cosmetics can offer you. I'm telling you, don't waste your money. Give to the poor. God will bless you for that. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, what a desire of Apostle Paul that you will grant us, who will attain to the resurrection from the body, resurrection of our bodies. Help us, Father. Grant us that revelation. Help us to grasp that revelation in the name of Jesus. And help us to live in anticipation of the glorious body that you have prepared for us. In Jesus' name, amen.